everybody. Welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast for Hills for ATL, one of the hottest growing community-based workout groups. And I am just so excited for our episode. We're on episode 13. Tonight we have someone that you guys may have been seeing around lately. I think a couple days ago he was running around in a turkey onesie. I believe that's what it was. Anyways, whether he is passing out light sticks, glow-in-the-dark sticks, or holding his cute little girl, or running around and dancing, you guys, he's out here making everybody smile. But tonight we get to dive into his journey, and I'm just really excited to learn more about the person behind that big smile. And so tonight we are welcoming Chaz. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Selecting me out of the bunch.
I know, you're getting to sit down now.
Right.
Dance. You are all over dancing. Do you dance all the time?
I do not.
You do not? It was like 10:30 in the morning, too.
Right.
And it was cold.
Yeah. And I'm from Florida, so I was freezing.
What part of Florida are you from?
From Jacksonville, Florida, or Duval.
Duval, is that what you guys call it?
Oh, yeah, Duval County, baby.
Nice. So you were born there?
Born in Putnam County, about an hour away, about 26 miles. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, about 26 miles outside of St. Augustine.
Nice.
And then, but I'm Duval. Been there since I was three, so.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Jacksonville's beautiful. I always want to stop there, and I heard that you can take your dogs to the beach there, which is rare, so I need to get back down there, of course, when it warms up. I have a friend of mine who also has a house out there, and I thought I might go there just because it's so peaceful and beautiful, and maybe like just post up and write a book or something.
Yeah,
so my idea of Jacksonville is actually really peaceful and beautiful. So
the biggest city in the U.S. landmass wise.
Is it?
It is.
I did not know that.
There you go.
So how did you get to Atlanta?
My wife.
Okay, well, where did your wife come from?
She's from Atlanta.
How long have you guys been married?
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. August 1st made 10 years.
What's her name?
Shalandra. But she goes by Shay.
Shay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why you moved here because of her, but why? Did she live here?
We met in actually Jacksonville. That's funny. A buddy of mine, quick story. Helping someone move, a buddy of mine got a phone call. We were both looking for jobs. He got a phone call about an opportunity. He turned it down. The gentleman he was talking to was like, who was with you? He was like, Chaz, a couple other guys. Put Chaz on the phone. Chaz got a job, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. And she had just moved to Jacksonville a few months prior, and I was delivering at the time. And I delivered to her school. You know, she was get her degree in nursing. And I happened to just be delivering to her school, and we crossed paths. She actually thought I was a student enrolling, because don't tell anyone, but I was out of uniform because I was heading to the beach. Her school was my last stop. So I got dressed in my beach attire, you know, shorts, flip-flops, and a shirt, and she thought I was sitting there waiting to register. Actually, I was waiting on a professor, and then we just started talking, and then here we are.
That is so cool how things like that happen, and I right. bet at the time you had no idea that this was about to be your everything and your wife.
And I had none, and when I started getting those feelings, I kind of start pushing her away.
I think we all do that at times.
Yeah.
But it's also very hopeful to, like, know that you could just be doing your thing, and there's so many people that long for that closeness and connection out there, and they want to find the right person. But if you just do what you're already doing, you just never know. That person could be sometimes right in front of your face,
right.
and you have no idea. I just love that, and I can't wait to dive a little bit more into that.
Okay.
So how long have you guys been in Atlanta?
We moved up here. I actually moved first. So I've been here 7 years and 11 months. So the beginning of January would be 8 years for me. She came up following month, February.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And one superstar that we always see out there working out, when did she come around?
Oh, man.
And you have to tell us her name.
Oh, that's cute. Dream. My nickname for her is Dream, but her name is Kaylin. Kaylin Love. And she was born in 2023, so she'll be two next year, March 29th. And that is our miracle baby.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me a little bit about that.
8 years of trying.
8 years of trying? Is that kind of why you call her Dream?
Yeah. Well, we had a scheduled delivery the night prior to, I didn't sleep in the room. I actually slept downstairs, and I don't know why, but you know, I've always been by her side, but this particular night, I know we're going to go have the baby the following morning. I slept downstairs and I had a dream. And in the dream, she came out a specific way. And the day of the delivery, she came out exactly.
Wow.
When I say exactly, the way she came out, the way they turned her to me, the way they held her to the screen, you know, so I can see her, the way her eyes opened up. Yeah, I'm getting emotional talking about it. But so ever since then, I've been calling her Dream.
How much you absolutely love that little girl.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I knew you were a proud father, but I had no idea.
Yeah, we've had some obstacles.
So I see you, you know, you're very involved, you're always smiling, you're always laughing, you're always giving. You seem like a very giving person.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a ton of personality. But what do you do, like, in your day-to-day? Like, what do you do for work?
I'm corporate America. I work remotely from home. But, you know, I do a lot of auditing on mortgage loans.
Okay.
So, but I'm not on the phones. Everything is through email. So,
I bet you can't wait, you know, when you've done your job to get off that computer and
right.
go, like, go, like, live a little.
Yeah, because I'm an outside person. I like being outdoors. And it's like, as soon as that, I log off, come on, Dream, we're going somewhere, unless mom's home. So, but I have to get out.
Yeah.
I need at least
Same.
2 hours,
yeah.
you know, so.
Absolutely.
And it's times where I just do dry runs. I get on 285 and just ride it all around in a circle, you know.
Especially with the windows down on
right.
a good day.
Yeah.
Turn on the music.
Yeah, I just remember back in the days my hair used to blow, but, you know, miss those days. But you know.
Nice. So don't you do some designing of shirts and things
yes.
like that?
Yes. That started out with, that was a hobby. I started doing that in 2008, but I got serious once I moved to Atlanta. Because I was just making, with the baby, because, you know, I have other children from my previous. And then I started getting serious about a little more serious. Still a kind of hobby for me, but it was something I know I could pass on to my children, like my older
So what do you do? You make shirts for like for me, like I do roofing work,
mm-hmm.
and so I need to get my logo on shirts all the time. Do you do things like that for
my buddy? Does too? Embroidery,
okay.
but anything else from screen print to vinyl. You know, I have a whole setup in my home. Like, I can literally run, cups, hats, you know, anything, big banners, I'll have my buddy do them. But, yeah, most of my clients, you know, I've done stuff for high schools. I've done a few hoodies for some staff for Tyler Perry.
Oh, cool.
Which I didn't know till after I'd done them. But, yeah, I've done stuff, you know, birthday parties, retirements.
This is a great side hustle, honestly.
Yeah,
this is really fun. It's a little bit of creativity,
right.
and then you get to tap into different groups of people that have different needs for that. I mean, people are always like running races and doing events, and they need shirts, even if you just wear it once.
Right.
They need them.
Right.
And so that's cool that you do that.
Yeah, I love it. Like I said, I can watch the game and the machines going on. So if you ever see me with a shirt on, there's a 99% chance I made it.
Do you have time to do the car business?
Oh, whenever my father-in-law lets me know he has some available.
I got to.
You know, because where I live, I'm not too far from one of the auctions. It's like 5 miles from my house. So it's times I went up there on a lunch break because the auction starts at 1:30.
Yeah.
My lunch is, you know, I take it whenever and I go up there. Or I could just bid from my phone.
Yeah. Back in the day, this is funny, I actually was one of the people that were driving, I would drive the cars through the auction. So I would get to drive like all the different cars,
sweet.
And I would just go really slow and everybody would be looking at the cars.
Right.
I'm a big car person myself.
Right.
I love cars.
Oh,
I love driving them. And I get that from my father, who was also working at the auction growing up, too. So
that's some cool stuff.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Your little girl's going to be looking at you.
Man.
In all your cars.
She already pointed. Yeah, she runs the house. So, yeah, she's in it. You know, it's story like we got another one. Like when she started walking and she seemed like she didn't even want to get into it because she wasn't familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, here's your car seats in here. We just got one and flipped it. Here's you can get in, yeah. You know, because she's very particular.
Yeah, she's a deep thinker.
Deep thinker.
I can tell through her facial expressions.
Yes.
It may be a new person, or maybe you're handing her a new, like, glow mm-hmm. stick or something.
Right.
And she thinks about it.
Right.
She thought about it pretty hard when my dog walked up to
right.
But it's not like she's, like, saying no. She's definitely yeah. processing and thinking. And I think that that's the mark of something really special, too, you know? Okay, so let's bring you back to why you're here. We've learned a little bit about who you are, some of the family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here to lift up people's stories that go out to Hills. And, you know, we just don't have enough time to really uncover all the amazing people. And you know, and we want to be able to hear their stories and support them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have, you were actually, Cornell was like, hey, you need to hit up Chaz.
Right.
He's got a heck of a story. So I immediately came over to you right
mm-hmm.
away. But from talking to you already prior to recording tonight, I'm learning that you've been going to Hills for a minute now.
I mean, I started this year.
I just started seeing you when the glow sticks
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to know, like, kind of how did you even find out about Hills? Was there a person or where did you see about it?
Social media. I believe it had to be an Instagram. It came up somehow and I saw it and I was like, they're at Piedmont Park. I'm always at Piedmont Park. Prior to that, I would just walk. My day-to-day was I would park at the skate park, walk down to Piedmont Park, walk Piedmont, then go back to the skate park. That would be my cardio. Walking, not
yeah.
running, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw it. Let me go check it out. And it was like on Wednesdays. And I didn't read it all the way through. I just said, hey, Wednesday Hills at this time. So that following Wednesday, I go, there's no one there.
No.
So I'm walking the park. I'm like, well, damn, am I at the right spot? I walked all the way to Botanical Gardens. I'm like, okay, where's everyone? And I go back. I'm like, I'm trying to find, it's Hill something. So I go online and I see, because I never followed them. Saw it. Let me follow. And I pulled up. That Wednesday when I saw it was the last Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to wait, you know, till this year. Yeah, so. But I end up coming. I missed the actual participating the first Wednesday because it was parking took forever. It literally,
mm-hmm.
We'll get down there about 6, you know, start at 6:30. Well, we didn't find a parking space until like 7:15.
You are not alone.
Oh my God.
So
my wife, you know, is my wife and daughter with me. I'm like, hey, we're put on the stroller. We're just going to walk over there and just stand and see. So then the following Wednesday, you know, we got there a little early. Then, you know, the rest
is
history.
Okay, so you started going up that hill. You started doing the exercises. What was that like?
I'm very competitive. Very.
How old are you? Am I allowed to ask you that?
You can. I'm 44.
44.
Right.
So I just asked that because when people say that they're competitive, there are people that sometimes, like, you know, get older,
mm-hmm.
they're not as competitive
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But then there's some that just, they always are.
Right.
So
I say the warm-ups had me tired. And then we actually started doing the drills. And I remember saying to my wife, I was like, we're going to have to, because she was just watching. I said, okay, you're not going to be here just watching me murder myself, because that's what I'm doing. I'm slowly dying. So I need... I need a break. So you go ahead and start running. You know, she's competitive too. She's like, well, I can handle this, you know. And then we were like, hey, you go do 2 runs, come back, watch the baby. I'll go do 2 runs. But I need to find someone who's over all this. I knew it was AB, but I didn't know AB Cornell. I didn't know which one was actually running it. I'm like, yeah, because I need to send them a letter. I don't want to send an email. I want to send an old-fashioned letter to management or someone, because they're out here trying to get us in shape, and it feels like I'm dying. I can't do this anymore. And then following Wednesday, I'm there. It's a love-hate relationship.
Okay, so when you were walking back to your car, after the first one, though,
mm-hmm.
there was a little bit inside, though, that was, like, kind of happy?
Happy that I didn't pass away, you know. No paramedics or nothing had to come out there. You know, I can breathe and talk. Is my name Chaz? Yes, how did we get here? But, yeah, you know, that was my motivation. I didn't want anyone to see how beat I was. So I'm glad the baby and the wife was there, because I have the stroller, something to lean on. and I'm walking slow to make it look like we're having a family brisk walk. No, I'm trying to catch my breath, and we parked a half a mile away, and I don't think we can make it, babe. I'm gonna get over here, and you just pull the car around.
I bet you guys ate good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we went to Willie's.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's where we were parked. Yeah, we would. We're like, what do you want? I want everything on the left side.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so, but I ended up coming in. That was like an opener for me. Like, okay, you're in shape, but you're not in heels shape.
And with that competitiveness, and also it sounds like with the support of your family, you know, it was like just enough to like keep bringing you back and like continue to challenge yourself. And, you know, I know for me, and I say this all the time, but, like, especially when I started Hills, like, I love to do things that make me feel like a kid again, you know?
It does.
Like, during the day, it's like, and with all the stuff going on in the world, stuff's hard, right? And, like, sometimes I'm just like, man, I'm an adult.
Right.
This is, like, crazy. And then I go out to Hills, and then I just let all that go. Mm. And for an hour, we're trying to breathe,
right.
We're trying to make it, we're
right.
Looking at the person to the left and to the right, and we're just like, we're present, and we're playing, and we're laughing, and if like we slide, we try to do a burpee, I don't even know,
right.
You know, I did not even remember last time I had done a burpee for a long time, right?
And now
you want me to jump after it uphill?
Right,
when
uphill.
When he starts doing the, you're going to turn around backwards
right.
And then jump backwards off a hill.
It's like, God, you're creating stuff, dude. Like, you're Googling while we're running something insane for us to do, and then you turn around and tell us to do it. It's like,
well, this is a form of therapy, though,
right.
Because you are detached from all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're surrounded by new people, and everybody's struggling. You know, everybody's talking smack and having a good time.
Yeah.
And also, there's the coach dynamic that are cheering you on every step of the way. And,
right.
You know, and it's just, there's something about that kind of unity.
Because
it doesn't really matter that you don't, for me, it didn't matter that I didn't know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just out there doing this same thing. And then there was just enough endorphins going through me when I was leaving.
Right.
And when I was driving, my little drive home, you know, that I just like, it was even, they were pumping through me so much that it's even kind of tough to even go to sleep right away.
Right.
Any other day,
right.
I'm out like this because I'm just like, you know, I'm not as full, you know, and I get really full being around like, you know, this community. And sometimes even in my job, like I'm a lone wolf out there, you know, I'm driving around, I'm working, I'm climbing, and I'm just kind of like in my own world.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that feels like that's okay until I finally get that vibe of being around the community and I realize, hey, wait, this is something I actually need.
Mm-hmm.
This is bringing value to my life,
right.
And I can't get that out here by myself.
Right.
And so I break away and I recognize that it brings life to me in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I am, what's a highlight? What's something? Where'd you come up with a glow stick idea? That's genius.
I guess memories as a child. And then when he was like, hey, we're going to be wrapping this up, you know, why is it going to be wrapping up? Well, there's no lights in Piedmont Park. It's getting dark quick. So I've done things with my children, like play with glow sticks. I mean, I put them on my dog and I was like, hey, let's see how this works. You guys want to wear some glow sticks? I literally was surprised that this many adults would come and want.
It would be over and I would still see people coming up.
Right.
Do you have any more?
Right.
Just to have them.
And I almost have a closet with two bags still full.
See, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
We want inside to still feel like that inner
right.
child coming out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I just posted a video last night, me walking my dog. She had two oranges on,
yeah.
You know, through the neighborhood. We're kind of like, yeah, my dog wears a glow stick too. Yeah.
So you told me a couple of times in a few conversations that we've had about how you just, like, one of the things that just gives you, like, purpose and is just helping people smile, you know? You want to just make people smile. So that's also a very profound passion.
It is.
Right? It's, you know, we all know that smiling is free.
Mm-hmm.
It takes nothing,
right.
Not a lot of energy, and how we just don't know what anybody might be going through at that time, and how if someone looks at them, makes eye contact, and just smiles, even for a second, you know, even if you just made it to the top of the hill, or
right.
you just slipped, or you just something, or you see your friend or buddy or somebody from across you know, across the field. Just a quick smile.
It works.
You know, there's something I want to uncover with you a little bit about, you know, why that's important to you and why that's something you want to make sure to try to always do.
I always have this saying when I meet someone or around people, I don't know what you're going through throughout the day, whether it's good or bad, but when we encounter each other, I don't want to be anyone that brings any bad, make you feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be a part of the problem. If anything, I want to be a solution.
That's right.
That's literally me. I don't want, but I just met this guy, he was a jerk. I don't want that in my conscience. So I come from a place where my family background's very confrontational, to the point where I didn't learn to start having conversations until I met my wife. Mm-hmm. I knew how to talk to people, but actually have a conversation.
To communicate.
Just, it was totally tough different. Because I had this, things got bad in our home, I started creating people. I knew I couldn't be a superhero, I want to be one, but I would watch a cartoon, maybe reenact it in my room, and it'll make me laugh. And then I'll show it to my brother or sister, you know, and they'll laugh. I'm like, okay, well, while we're laughing, we just got cursed out. Our tragic incident happened, but for this 10 to 2 minutes, you know, 10 seconds to 2 minutes, we're not even thinking about it. We're laughing. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I went from just being a silly person to really just trying to master how to make someone smile. Because as soon as you smile, whatever you're thinking about, you're really not thinking about it right now. You're just thinking about what I did to make you smile. And if you smile, that made me smile. And it also takes, like when I do it at the Hills, that's taking my mind off the pain that my body is going through. And I explain that to someone. I say, if you pay attention, I come and speak. I give my high fives, hugs, and, you know, I might talk a little shit online. But I said, when it starts going to work out, I say, I don't say anything until my body starts feeling pain. So I'll blurt out something. Somebody's like, do you have Tourette's syndrome? I'm like, today I do. Yes, I have selective Tourette's syndrome. But I'll say something and somebody will laugh at it running up the hill. I'm laughing at it and we're talking about the joke on the way down the hill. And for that, I forgot I was tired and I'm ready for round two, ready for round three. And then, you know, it's contagious.
It's an energy.
Yeah, it's getting everyone there. Yeah, and I'm passing
created.
Along.
And you know, when you are, you know, you're smiling at someone, they smile back, that person may not even realize that, you know, they may have forgotten that they could smile. It may have been that bad of a day, week, a year, you know, working out and going around people is tough for some people.
It is.
It's been tough for me, all of us at some point in our life, right? That smile holds so much strength and so much weight that it immediately, with that, it's a nonverbal way of saying, you're welcome here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see you. You know, it's going to be okay. Right. You don't have to even say it, but that's how much power is in a smile, you know. And you know, I could have had the worst day ever. Mm-hmm. Come over, see your daughter, and you just smiled at me, and I realized, hey, guess what? Whatever you're going through hasn't taken you out because you just smiled back.
And you're being honest, I have had horrible, worst days on the way to the Hills, and no one knew it.
Yep.
No one. It wasn't just for me to make someone smile. It was for me to get a smile. I mean, it's been times where I've left the Hills in tears, dealing with personal stuff. Mm-hmm. I've driven to the Hills and just clean myself up and come on out there, and then the same Chaz, you know. But they don't know why I'm making them smile. It's actually getting things off my brain. And I can get home, and then I can have a conversation with my wife or whatever. And I have told someone, I said, I had a death in the family. Unexpected death. Like, I just saw this person Saturday, and then I get a phone call from my brother Sunday. And how do you deal with it? Don't seem like you're upset about it. I said, well, one, you didn't take them out.
No one here did. So therefore, I'm not going to, you know, treat you all any different. I'm going to be the best I can. Because
you laugh at what I'm saying, it's taking my mind off of it. Now, if you had something to do with it.
And sometimes you have to they say in some of the work that I've done for the past decade, like in psychology, delay, distract, decide. Before, if you're going through something, delay. The delay is getting in that car, finding that parking spot, getting out, walking to, you know, hills. You're delaying. You're working out now, so you're distracting. And then after it's all over, then you feel different, right? You put some space in between that. And then you make your decision on what you're going to do. So it's just really powerful. And I think that that's something that's very unique to you. And I think there's a lot of layers there because someone with that kind of passion doesn't just come up with something like that as their goal. You know, you see this in like comedians too. There's a lot of pain right there. And they're making humor and jokes about some serious, real things. And they do a damn good job, but the laughter and the pain and the love and all of this stuff, it comes from knowing the opposite. And so with all of this giving, I want to know how you, Chaz, take care of yourself. Like, what does your routine look like? How do you, I know you have your family and they're everything to you, but how do you take care of you so that you can be that person for everyone else?
One is I rest. I mean, of course I work out, and some, you know, may not understand that when I get to the hills, depending on if it's a Monday, Wednesday, or Saturday, when I arrive, that's usually my second workout of the day. I train in the morning at home, I train on my lunch break when the babies sleep, and then come to the hills. And then after I leave the hills on Mondays and Wednesdays, I go to another facility and train. So that's one. I just like to stay busy, stay mobile. I also get my rest. You know, my wife would tell me, I'm like the king of the power nap. Whoever invented the nap, I can take a nap anywhere. I don't care if it's restaurant, you know, hey, we're about to get on the road for 7 hours. I need 30 minutes. Give me 30 minutes of nap time, of silence, and I'll be fine. And then sometimes I just drive around. You know, I've done dry runs, just got on 285 and just drove a whole circle. And the crazy thing, with no music, just had the windows cracked. In summertime, okay, the windows down, you know.
Do you get up early?
I have to.
You have to.
I learned that through the wife. I'm not a morning person until I met her. So like I said, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, I'm usually up by 4:30. I'm training from 5 to 6. I log in at 7.
Isn't it awesome to work out in the morning?
Oh, man.
I have also trained myself.
Right.
Like, it just feels so much better.
It took a minute. Like I said, it took, because all my life when I started working out, I was, you know, when I got off corporate hours, you know, in the afternoon, you know, because working out really wasn't my thing as far as, because I lift weights. I do powerlifting. But I never thought I would be working out the way I do until an incident happened where it was like, hey, you might not be able to work out ever.
So let me go ahead and use that segue. One thing that we like to talk about on this podcast is, you know, everything's really strength-based. And it's, you know, I ask each guest, you know, what is a challenge that you overcame in your life? We have a lot, right? And they're not going to stop. We learn how to just adapt with life, and that's what life's about, right?
Okay.
But what is something, you know, that stood out for you that you had to overcome? And I want to know what it was, and how did you overcome it? And so this, I believe, is something that really, especially when things happen that are completely out of our control, things that may happen where you don't think you have the strength to even get through it. But you can't give up and you have to keep going. Those are the things that create our character. It's what brings our unique gifts and talents to other people. So is there anything that has stood out that's happened in your life that you've overcome?
Too many.
Too many.
like literally too many. But one, being shot twice. In a robbery, and riding in the ambulance, I got shot in my leg and my arm from some young guys. After I gave them $60 cash, $320, so I stopped at a Vistar ATM on the way home from church to pay my storage bill, which was $58. I got shot on a Friday night and I was going to pay my storage Saturday morning because I was moving in February. I got shot January 18, 2009. Got shot in the leg, bent over, shot in the arm. So you got my $60, my car keys, my iPhone, my wallet. My brother's also with me. Took $40 from him. In that, I had an opportunity to run when the guys were on him, but I didn't. This is after I threw them the money. They went to him, and one guy walked off, and I blurted, hey, leave him alone. You have everything. What else do you want? It's not like we were dressed like we had a meal. I literally had on pajamas, a matching pajama set and a hoodie. Now, you know, in Florida, you know, when you got hoodies on, it's 70 degrees, you know? And, you know, I got shot, you know, because I didn't want, I actually put it in the words. I said I could have ran and been a sucker, but I wasn't going to let them shoot my brother. So when I got the attention on me, the guy, you know, I think he was scared, maybe startled, but like I said, the one hit me that much below my artery in my left leg, came straight out of the back, and then the other one hit my clavicle here, and that's in my left lung.
So
to this day, I have a bullet in the center of my left
lung. What?
Yeah, so a lot of times when my wife and I go through the airport, I get the extra pat down. You know, sometimes I get pulled to the side. Hey, we're seeing something in your chest.
Oh,
and it's always, is it a nipple ring? So I always ask, I'm sorry, I don't have, but is it like a nipple ring? Because sometimes, no, I'm not that type of freak, but no. And I like, ma'am, it's a bullet. Oh my gosh, it's a bullet in you? Yes. Who shot you? Well, they didn't leave a business card if you're looking to be shot. You know, I didn't ask the name of the guy shooting me. But
so your brother was,
he
was fine?
He was fine. They took off running.
Okay.
So he's fine, but physically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that ripped us apart mentally. And that's what I tell people, the physical part, you know, me riding in the ambulance to the hospital, I'm asking, am I going to be able to walk? Am I dying? Because, you know, it's still blood, and I'm hearing them saying it. But no one's saying anything. Get to the hospital. You know, I find I'm going to be all right. And you mentioned something about delayed. I did not panic until they said I was going to be fine. But at first, the talk was where the bullet went in, you know, they wasn't sure if it nicked the artery or that was the talk. I'm hearing them talking. And when I find out, hey, you're going to be fine, it didn't hit, it just, you know, it's going to take some time for you to walk right and move your arm again the way the bullet hit my arm, you know, my shoulder blade. So when I was released from the hospital, that's when the panic came.
That's what happens.
Yeah, I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to be around people. And I was still saying funny Chaz, but for years, and I say years, at least till I left Jacksonville in 17. So from 2009, 2017, I wasn't as open. I couldn't sit at restaurants with my back to the door. I didn't want to meet new people. You know, street lights came on, I'm in the house. You know, and I was 207 when I got shot. I got out of the hospital at 158 and a half. So going through therapy, you know, that took 2 years for me to not to feel any pain when I did a push-up. You know, it took 2 years. It was April 16, 2011 when I joined the Planet Fitness. And the only reason I joined is because my brother was like, hey, I know you're doing therapy, but once they release you from that, I'll come work. I need you to find a gym and work out.
You could write a whole book on this therapy.
Yeah,
alone.
And it was like, I don't want to do that. Because even when I played sports in school, when I played football, I didn't want to lift weights because basketball was my forte. You know, and I didn't want my jump shot to be messed up. So, you know, I do a little bit of stuff, but I don't want to be big because he's big. He competes. He's a bodybuilder. So he travels and competes. And he was like, just work out with me. And I worked out with him. I started doing it. I remember crying and just trying to lift the bar, you know. I'm literally the bar on a bench press. That's 45 pounds.
Overall, how long was it till you kind of got back to your normal in the gym?
Let's see. I joined Planet Fitness 2011. I joined Bailey's. So about, I said maybe 2014, so about 3 years, I would say I was mobile.
Okay.
It took me 9 months to be able to just hold my left arm straight up. Just to do, took literally, so.
Okay, so you have been to hell and back just trying to rebuild and recover your body.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit more before we move on, on the mentality that you had to you know, work really, really hard on healing that trauma that took place. You know, we in the midst of, you know, these situations where we're like strong and we're like kind of in shock and we're in like maybe even survival mode. And then the second we find out we're going to be okay, then it all just like hits us about how close it was to not being okay. And how many other people, your wife, affected, and, and every other dream and every other thing that you were involved in, especially physically. And then the fear that sets in, you know, the unknowns are just now so loud in your mind. And then you probably, you just isolated, you know what I mean? It got pretty dark,
right.
You know? Got pretty dark. And I think that it's important, I know you talked to me prior to filming a little bit, you know, being a man that's saying that, you know, I had some trauma that I had to heal and it's possible. And it sounds like you found a lot of healing even through that recovery physically. I think that that is so incredible. You know, you didn't ask for any of that stuff to happen to you.
Right. Like I was a pretty cool guy. Like I was the class clown. I never really was in trouble. You know, I had a couple of speeding tickets, but I found out. Like a month later, I was the third person on that side of town that got robbed in that area. But see, I was had children. You know, I ran a gym, a basketball gym on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then I would play basketball myself because I would just run the gym. But Mondays, Wednesdays, and Sundays, and I'm always with my babies. I just had twin sons. I got out a day before their first birthday, my twin son's first birthday.
Did you have a layer to all of this that you were like, oh my God, life is so short, we have to like... you know, we have to make the most of it. It was like this level of appreciation. I'm sure they didn't come till later.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like yeah, now, you're right. Probably like in that zone now, you know? Like, let's go, let's, you know, we woke up today.
Right.
This is a gift.
Right.
Let's make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And it, honestly, after you get out of that dark place, you're able to, you know, you're able to really... put things in perspective, like when, say, you're sitting in traffic or you're having a bad day or your computer breaks down or whatever. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't, because you've overcome something that was really, really huge, you know, tragic, you know, you're able to now have this perspective, like, with what you're actually going through in this moment, it's just not that bad, you know?
I think literally, and right? I say that to everyone about, if it's not life-threatening, I'm good. You know, I've been, hey, we're having an issue with this. Like, even like work, when we were, big layoffs was about to happen. I'm in the process of purchasing a home. And then I get called in the office, they're probably going to let you go in November. I said, okay, November. Okay, cool. Literally said that at my senior VP's desk. What do you mean, cool? I was like, layoff. She's like, but yeah, but you're, no, I found that's out in June. I'm like, yeah, as long as I'm in my house before November, I don't care. But Chaz, people might be losing it. I say, well, yeah, I know it's a lot. We got the email, a lot of people, because now they're coming to departments doing interviews because we're merging. And I was like, yeah. I said, that's the worst that's going to happen to me, a layoff?
You know
as much as
is,
I hustle,
right?
I'll be all right.
You know what that is?
What do you call
it? They call it resilient. You just keep bouncing.
Yeah.
You just keep bouncing. You don't ever just fall. You just bounce.
Yeah.
Resilient. You're able to adapt because now you've seen yourself go to this place and you've seen yourself completely pull yourself back out.
Right. End up getting a house, didn't get laid off, promoted twice, and the VP got let go.
So your family, your community, those are really important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit of, you told me the amazing story about your daughter. Tell me a little bit about, you said your wife and your family was your why. Like, everybody's out there training hard, working hard, trying to get out of dark places, things like that. You know, but they have a reason. They have their own stories, too. And so I know that if your wife and your daughter are your why, you know, can you tell me what that means to you?
I mean, it's the world. Like, one, this is my wife's first child. I have a total of six.
Okay.
So I have four girls and twin sons. First five are from my previous. And she accepted me at my lowest. And when I say lowest, me taking that job to her school, I mean, that sucker paid like 10 bucks an hour and I only got to work 22 hours a week. And she's already graduated college, was out in California, decided to switch careers, come to Jacksonville to start nursing. And then I meet her, and okay, I'm the second guy she's ever really been with. And I see her family and her family background completely different. Mm-hmm. Completely different. When I say completely, I mean, you all sit down at the dinner table and eat like this. You know, it's like when I finally started visiting her family, it's like, you all live like this.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She sees my family, like, people actually live like this. Yes, we do, because I had nothing. I couldn't work. There was talks. I met an agent. I actually was invited to a basketball. Now, that guy's passed away, but 3 weeks before I got shot, I was at a basketball gym playing, and I was invited to a Memphis Grizzlies practice squad. That's like a lifetime offer. I didn't play high school or college ball, but I was pretty decent. And not to say I was the best, but this particular night at Jacksonville Beach at Fletcher High School, I was playing basketball, and I had the time of my life. I did everything I all dreamed of as a basketball player, not knowing there were scouts and agents in this gym playing with us. And a few of us got talked to, and it was an invite. Of course, we had to go through other steps, but, you know, I was supposed to leave in May for the practice squad tryout. I got shot January. Mm. And only 4 people knew that at the time, that I was even leaving, because I'm like, I don't believe this. And one of the guys, he was an ex-NFL player. He played for the Jaguars and the Bills, but he passed away last year. But he was well-connected. So it's like, okay, I meet this woman, accepting me with nothing, no real job. I'm living with my mother.
So they've been there when you had nothing.
Nothing.
She nothing. Saw through the hour. All of it. And found something on the inside of you that she was willing to commit to. Ooh. And sounds like you're going to spend the rest of your life showing how much you love her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here because of her. Where we live is what you pick the house.
Yep, enough said.
Right. I'm in a position. Do you want to work or do you not want to work?
So wrapping up our amazing conversation, and I just want to say thank you for being vulnerable about some of these things that you've, like, really truly overcome. But the Hills for ATL community, we just, you know, we want to be able to always support everyone. And one thing that we always ask is, you know, what are you running towards? You know, what is something that you are working on so that we, when we see you, we can cheer you on, we can ask you about it. What's next for you? What's something that you, what are you running towards? It could be a goal, it could be about anything you've talked about. But we want to be able to continue to support you.
Well, you keep saying running, and I'm getting tired of running. So I'm going to walk towards something, one of my goals, a brisk jog maybe. I will be someone's island.
You want to be beach. On an island?
Someone's island.
Someone's island on the beach.
On the beach. And that's not want to be. It's going to be. I actually have a 2026, I'll probably be out of the States for a while.
Nice.
We will be out of the States, because I can honestly say I've have everything that I've actually basically prayed for. I don't want anything. I don't care about clothing, because I can make it. I don't care about automobiles, because I can get them. I got a house. I'm the first person in my family to ever purchase a home, pretty nice home. And it's like, okay, now what? What else? What makes my wife happy? What makes my daughters happy? Like I said, I have 6 children. I have 4 of them in college, academic scholarships. I'm fine. My wife's family, you know, they embrace me even through my flaws. I'm like the favorite nephew, you know, cousin. So I get along well with everyone. That's the tough part, because they know we're leaving. When I gave my wife a time frame, we have 1 year to be in Atlanta. If that's what you really want to do, if you really want to be in Atlanta, give me 1 year. I moved in 11 months. Where do you want to live? We have 3 years to be in the house. Not an apartment, not a condo. We have to be in the house within 3 years. You pick where we want. Year 3, she picked where she wanted to go. So, hey, I just need, if we're going to align the same vision, I'm with you. Because like I said, it's nothing bad. We just normal life.
There's something really powerful when you're aligned with someone and you're focused and you can continue to check off your goals.
Right.
I'm super proud of you, and I appreciate the energy that you bring to our group, and honestly, probably everywhere you go.
I do my best. I'll say this really quick.
Okay.
Really quick. I am paranoid every time I'm at the Hills when I'm speaking. That's actually helping me with my anxiety. I'm actually fighting against not speaking or making anyone laugh, but it just comes so naturally.
Listen, I assure you by you just saying that, you are not alone in that. Right. But it speaks volumes mm-hmm. about you working on you right. and growing and stepping out of your comfort zone, because that's the only way that we continue to be successful. Right. So anyway, all I have to say, Chaz, is you better take us out there to that island when you make it there.
I will.
And again, thanks so much for being here with
us.
Hey,
no problem. Thanks for having me, man. You guys are really
cool. You've
been
amazing. Thanks so much, you guys. We'll see you on the next one. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, Hills for ATL. Follow us, and we have tons of events and parties that are always happening, and we look forward to seeing you out there.